Let's pray. Lord, you're such a good God, and I am just always humbled by you, your goodness, and so grateful to have this place to come and just pour out the brokenness and the wreckage of my life and have you knit it together into something useful and beautiful for your kingdom. You're the God of just reconciliation and redemption, and I thank you for that. I thank you for this safe place. Please bless this time and make known your story in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. My name is Sydney. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from fear, control, and anger. Hey. The questions that haunted me my entire life are, who am I, and am I valuable? My first and strongest feeling I remember was loneliness. I felt alone because it seemed that no one could literally understand me. I remember my mother telling me that people couldn't understand what I was saying because I was carrying on most of the conversation in my head. I wouldn't vocalize my thought process, which made it very difficult to understand anything I said. To this day, I have a moment of fear and panic at the beginning of each new interaction, and I think, am I going to look like a dork? What do I have to contribute? In these moments, I have to cling to the Lord because in Him, I am made strong, and I know that I'm His child, enfolded in His promises. Most of my memories came from photographs or old home movies. Since I didn't have memories to anchor me, my life became a series of labels, such as to keep my little brother, who insisted on wearing a Superman suit around the neighborhood, from being bullied, I became the protector. In grade school, I was the tomboy. During this time, my teachers were consistently telling my parents that I was not living up to my potential, so I bestowed a new label upon myself, the disappointment. I couldn't really talk about these thoughts that crowded my head because I was fearful, and my home environment vacillated between fighting and icy silence. It was so much easier to retreat to the comfort of a book. By sixth grade, I was reading at college level and had a new series of labels, the dictionary, or weird. I became she who hides herself away. It was much easier and less painful to be invisible. In high school, desiring significance in spite of my fear, I became the girl who self-destructs through drinking, drugs, and sex, which led to an abortion. This behavior led to new labels of depressed and suicidal. At home, everything I did was controlled down to the words I said on the phone. Usually, if I had to call the school, the doctor, etc., my mother would stand over me and tell me exactly what to say. I couldn't even step outside the house without a full accounting. On more than one occasion, after fighting with my parents, I just wanted to take a walk, but my mother wouldn't let me out of the house. Sometimes I felt like I would just explode. When it came time to go to college, I couldn't wait. I didn't realize that wherever you go, there you are, and that the wagon train of painful baggage would travel behind me. At the time, it just felt good to have some freedom. Once at college, I felt that I needed some balance from my newfound freedom and crazy life. I remembered enjoying a short Bible study my senior year of high school, so I looked for a Christian community. But what I found turned out to be a cult. I was assigned a campus friend who constantly followed me around, making sure I distributed their literature. In reaction to their attempt to control me, I didn't darken the door of a church for 17 years and hated the mention of Christians or Christianity. I bumped along the next few years, joining American Airlines and dragging my baggage to Raleigh. Most of those years trying desperately to escape myself and gain control of my life. It was here that my relationship with the occult blossomed. I remember as a child being intrigued by my dad's books on numerology, the pyramids, palmistry, astrology. I thought that this might be a way to find out who I was, what my purpose was, and to eventually learn to control my environment. One of my fellow flight attendants would invite astrologers, crystal healers, and all types of New Age teachers into her home. We were all interested in these things. I kept going further and further down that road. As I learned each new thing, I was left with an empty bag of endless promises of power and control if I would only go further. Finally, I had an experience while alone and practicing the occult, and what I saw terrified me enough to quit magic completely. Like many other sins, this one started out seemingly harmless with a horoscope, something amusing and trivial, but leading me to want to know and then control my future apart from God. In the Bible, there's a phrase used to tell of God intervening on our behalf and reaching down into the miry pit of our destruction to draw us to himself. The phrase is, "but God." In Ephesians 2, 4 through 5, the Bible says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." My "but God" moment happened in Miami. God brought together all the threads of my shattered life and wove them together into the tapestry of his kingdom. My only trusted friend decided to rededicate her life to Christ, and this set me on the path to run into the Lord's open arms. I accepted Christ's death on the cross as payment for my sins, and I trusted that God loved me so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for me. I started attending a church and grew in the knowledge of God's word. Everything changed. My thoughts, my worldview, my ability to love, my relationship with my parents, and my love for the Lord. Yet, as I moved to Chicago and then home to Dallas, my hurts and pain bubbled inside me like poison. And my unmet expectations made me a very angry person. I was attending Watermark and serving for a couple of years when a friend suggested that I go to Region to work on my anger issues. I ignored her because I didn't want to admit that my anger was that bad. It took an overnight stay in detox to convince me that Region was the place for me. I remember reading Genesis 16 and sobbing. This is the story of Hagar, who was thrown out into the desert and cared for by the Lord. It says, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, "You are the God who sees me." Although I had been saved 9 years prior, I finally realized that God saw me and cared for me in spite of all the choices I had made, because he sees Christ in me, covering my bitterness, my pain, my rebellion, my abortions, my drinking. He sees me and he loves me. I had felt like Hagar, full of shame, cast out, and unlovable. But God had a place for her, and God also has a place for me as his adopted daughter. Because of this, instead of being labeled the disappointment, I would now be known as accepted. Even when I didn't feel like attending Regen, it was important to go, because God would always speak to me through someone in the group in a way that changed me. I'm so grateful for each moment in recovery. I realize that every pain and situation in my life that I thought had ruined me could be used by God to help someone else. This was a foundational piece of my recovery. After watching my leaders and the other women in the group share their deepest hurts and secrets, I realized I had come to a place where I could be fully honest, fully known, and not judged. The biggest blessing was having recovery partners. We learned to trust one another, encourage one another through the process, and during our inventory, we shared things we had never shared before. And because of this, I was able to bring up all the things that only our Creator can heal. Isaiah 61:1 says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." At this point, I took the first deep, relaxed breath of my life. I finally felt the freedom that I had been missing. I was now not depressed, but healed. Not suicidal, but alive in Christ. While I was in Regen, I realized that my feeling of being underwater, of being crushed under the pressure, was the power that all my poisonous secrets had over me, holding me down and drowning me. God wants to release us from our cage of shame and pain and call us sons and daughters. I had believed Christ's death on the cross paid for my sins, but I didn't understand that his death also covered my guilt and shame. In my pride, I refused to let go and accept his total forgiveness. Now I understand the complete forgiveness of Christ. I no longer have to feel any guilt and shame associated with my past, but I can rest in the total freedom that I have in Christ. I can now fully embrace my identity, who I am in Christ. In step 8 on forgiveness, I realized I had not forgiven my family. I began to see our relationships differently. I was not as judgmental and critical, but tried to show them the love and forgiveness that Christ had shown me. The forgiveness process brought peace and definitely helped our relationships. As I learned more about God, while removing the barriers that were keeping me from trusting Him, I've been able to release much of the control that I needed over my life. As I realized that God was satisfied with me, God became enough for me. All of my unmet expectations faded away in light of what I now have in Christ. Now I'm not labeled angry, but experiencing joy. Christ healed me in ways I couldn't imagine. Trusting my Savior and working the steps daily is now a way of life for me. This allowed me to step way out of my comfort zone to lead a small group of ladies through the same steps. As I continue to push outside my comfort zone, I've now finished leading my fourth step group. I am very privileged to have found my sweet spot. Helping other women discover their true value and their identity in Christ is the joy of my life. There have been challenges, but each is a God-given opportunity for growth and change. I've come to realize that each and every hurt I've experienced becomes a valuable tool in my tool belt to reach, counsel, and comfort people for Christ. What was once pain is now treasure. I had been blind and broken for so long, and now God is glorified when others can see the work He's done in my life. For example, He's replaced painful codependent relationships with healthier, God-honoring ones, especially with my family. I am now able to love them well, with honesty and without resentment. Thankfully, my parents have come to know the Lord, so now we have a common starting point in all of our interactions. We're able to work through family communication issues with love and respect for one another. I am so grateful for this new way of relating to them. I'm in a community group of wonderful women who encourage and keep me accountable to the God-honoring life I want to live. They are joyful and wise women who counsel with biblical wisdom and encourage with humor. One of them is my original accountability partner from when I first came to recovery. Being a co-leader has meant learning not to seize control of every situation, but rather learning to respect and rely on my co-leader's strengths. Together, we shepherd the group, realizing the outcome in anyone's life is between them and the Lord. I've come to appreciate the counsel I receive from my coaches and leadership at Regen. One important lesson is to be both humble and teachable through this process. They have walked alongside me with grace and wisdom. Sometimes the counsel can be painful, but it's important to go before the Lord and ask, what lessons does He want to teach me through this? Life in the Lord is all about moving forward in growth. That's not always easy or painless. However, with each small step of obedience, God meets me and blesses me and gets me ready for the next opportunity to grow. As in Psalm 1:1-2, David writes, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." I've discovered that each time I submit to the Lord, something awesome happens, and I'm drawn closer to Him and able to love better and serve better because it is Christ in me, the hope of glory, who is all the good in me. For those of you who are here for the first time, there is hope and healing and a joy that only comes from laying out all your brokenness in this safe place. Sit at the feet of Christ and learn about your Savior. He loves you beyond measure. He is patient beyond measure. He's the ultimate treasure. The months you invest in this process will have a great impact on the rest of your life. 1 Timothy 1:7 has been very powerful in my life. Timothy tells us, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." That's what God wants for us, not being in bondage to fear, wrong thinking, or self-inflicted pain. I wanted someone to come and rescue me from my life, from myself. Jesus was already there and had paid the price for my sin. He was waiting for me to come to Him and be in closer relationship with Him in order to receive healing and hope. Remember my identity crisis? I have new names now, and they are redeemed, forgiven, and new. Thanks for letting me share.